In the Maamar Mavo, the introduction, the Maamar of introduction to Ayeka, the pages are not numbered, so it's comes out to be page 4, where it says Ha'odam ben Doreinu. This Maamar to introduce the entire sefer, the Maamar is to explain that question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam Rishon, Ayeka, and how that question is being asked of each and every one of us, especially these last few days, minutes before Mashiach comes. Ha'odam ben Doreinu, I made mul ha'nisoin ha'godol hazeh ha'mofim itzdodim rabim. We were just talking about that this morning, about Chassidus Shir. A person in our generation is facing this nisoin, surrounded from all sides. The nisayon of being drawn away from himself, from who he is, as we were learning this morning, from that ish pnimi, from that nekuda of Chanukah, of that shemen, that pach shemen, that pure oil of his own essence. That's how the shemen was made. Nisayon gadol shalolah hishayev achutza. There's never been such a nisayon like now. Every generation has its nisayons, but this nisayon of being drawn outside of oneself, outside of one's home. It used to be that in order to be outside, you had to go outside. But now you don't have to go outside. You could be inside a tiny little room, dalad, with a mezuzah, and you could sit with the phone, and you can go here. You can go to Greece, and you can go to Italy, and you can go to Dubai. It doesn't cost you anything except for the price of the phone. You can go anywhere you like. So the whole, there was never a mitzvah like this. In all of history, there was never such a mitzvah that a person was able to be b'chutz, kashu v'fnim. Because your whole life is b'chutz, is outside. Which is why we like the menorah b'chutz. Mikra didn't realize it, of course, by the opening to the outside. And that's what we're talking about this morning. With the whole avoid of Chanukah is that nitzachon of the inside over the outside. Of pnimiyas, of the pach shemen, of being in that Choysim, that seal, that chum, that choma, chaymas, chum, choysim, it's all the same word, being sealed inside and knowing who you are inside and having that nekuda of who you are preserved and pure, which the tumah of the Yavanim was to rip open all of those seals, to open up all of the jars of oil, to be metame, to be mechal, so that there's no inside anymore. The whole Yontif of Chanukah is a pach shemen, that pach shemen that's munach b'chayis Moshe Kohen Gadol, that is sealed, shut, and closed, that's inside. Everything now is about outside. So people have these, they're on the phone and they're talking about the things that, all of history, those were things that were inside. Your baby burped. That was something that nobody ever took outside. Nobody even say to their husbands, anafki minute, he burped, he didn't burp. No one ever spoke about these things. It never went out of a person's mouth. Let alone, it would be a person you're embarrassed to talk about. And everything is, I just found out yesterday, I didn't know about this thing, it's called broadcast, you know, you know what that is, when someone sends the same message to everybody. So I never even know. So I'm to me, stick with this thing. So people, I get these things, and I thought someone said, so I feel bad. So I always say, I answer like, oh, that's so nice, or shkoyach. And then I found out yesterday that was sent to 10,000 people. he's never going to see that I wrote back, Shkoyach. All day long, it was Shkoyach. How nice, wow. You know, all these things, a little smiling, or this. The guy never even saw it. Because he sent it to every single person he knows in the world, and even people he doesn't know. He sent it to 10,000 people. I'm sitting there like a yokel. I think he sent me a snipe. He sent me a personal message about how his kid's tooth grow. I don't know why after your kid's tooth came in. Okay. Mazel tov. I sent back mazel tov. And he never even saw my mazel tov. Because it was broadcast. It was broadcast. It was just sent out. Like an invitation or someone had a baby. So for bris, they send out a thing and I get scared right away. I said, well, I have to answer right away. I don't know what. And I just found that yesterday. It's called the broadcast. These things, and it's sent out to a million people. That wasn't sent to you. There's nothing that's more chutz than that on earth. It's all chutz. It's all bachutz. Everything is chitzonius. And And everything is about opening up the jar of oil that was always kept closed. And there's no Pach Shemen anymore. There was always something inside a family, between a husband and wife, parents and children, inside of oneself. There were things that were kept sealed. That's Chanukah. And the whole inina of Yavin is to rip open, to tear open those containers. And then we're wondering, why is it that it doesn't light? Why don't we have light in our lives? Why is it that everything is so dark? We have no light. We don't have any light because the oil is spilled everywhere. The oil is spilled everywhere. We don't have any oil. It's spilled out. We spilled it out on the Facebook and the Twitter. All the oil was spilled. Everything is bachutz. There's nothing that's pure. There's nothing that's inside. This whole sefer is about how to tie things up again, how to seal that seal of the Kohen Gadol, the chayisim, that wall chaymas, chayisim tchum, that there is boundaries between inside and outside. So you see that the menorah is lit by that boundary. So people, the windows now, but by the door, by the mezuzah, by the opening, that tchum. They say, Adkan, there's a world that I have inside here. So never before has been such a thing. Nisan Gol Shalol Yishoyev Achutza Shalishkar Chesor Hamiyuchad Shalol. There's never been such a Nisan for a person to forget that Or Hamiyuchad Shalol, that light, that candle, that Or that's within him. Shalol Abedes Ha'erach Hapnimi Hamiti Shalol. Such a Nisan to lose that sense of one's inner value and inner worth, what's contained inside of oneself. Not to substitute that inner, natural, internal life of who you are, that Hashem Zbach wants you to bring that out into the world, to in your life, to bring that out. That's the Atzmius HaKodesh. The Atzmius HaKodesh, I'm going to talk maybe tomorrow a little bit about Atzmius Yosef. The Atzmius HaKodesh Shechakuka Ba'emek Lavava. That's engraved in who you are. And to know what that is and to live with that. Aside from all the stuff that people are putting out, the things that people are seeing and hearing, and everything's outside of oneself. That person's not sitting alone with one's thoughts. People can't sit alone to be by themselves. There's no Vayavosa Yaakov Lavado. There's no levado anymore. People are never alone. There's no levado. I was thinking about it yesterday. Because something with my phone. One of the chevra was taking care. I gave him my phone. He was fixing something on it. So he said he'll be back in an hour. And when he left, I said, "No, halavai, it should be 2 hours." because it wasn't even Shabbos. Shabbos, you're free. So this was on a Thursday, and I didn't have any phone with me. And I was sitting there in the office, and I said, we used to live like this all the time. This was the way to live. And we don't, not just on Shabbos or Yontif, to live, to be levado, to be able to not to be worried and to be able to think, and to be. So it's very hard now to hold on to this. And you lose yourself. And you get lost in some other life that's really not you. It's strange. It's not you. There's a story that I've told you many times. It sounds like it's a story from Chelm. But the emes is that the chassidim say that the Devar Chaim, the sons of Rav, told over this ma'isa. I mean, it's not a, he said this over a marshal, the Devar Chaim. But I'm sure you all you've heard this many times. But there was a yid that he had a little bit of a shvacha memory. He wasn't so strong with his memory. So he always had a problem every morning. When he would go to sleep at night, his shoes were here, his pants were there, his talis katan was there, his shirt was, and he didn't remember where he put everything. So the Sanjurov said that somebody gave him an etzah that he should take a piece of paper the night before and he should write that my shoes are under the chair, my shirt is by the door, and he should write a tzatl with a list of everything. So he wrote up a note where everything is, and then the last item was, and I am in the bed. I'm in bed. That's where he would read the note. I'm in bed. So the next morning he gets up, and it's a mechaya. The shirt, the tzitzis over the pants, everything he's got, he's check, check, check. And then the Sanjurab says, he looks at the bed, the lesson says, and I, or Yankel, is in bed. And he looks at his bed. Is Yankel, V is Yankel, bro. The Sanjurab said, V is, where's Yankel? Go out, the guy starts to cry. What happened to Yankel? The pants, the shirt, the tzitzis, the yarmulke, all of that. But where's Yankel? The Sanjurab was saying over, Vi bin ich. Where am I? Vi bin ich. Where am I? That's the question of our generation. That's the question of Ayeka. And Hashem is saying to the other Marishan, ask yourself, Vi bin ich. Where am I? I have the car, I got the this, I got the that, I got the house, I got the kids, I got the wife, I got the husband, I got the this, I got Alice. I have all this stuff of Vi bin ich. Where am I? Where am I? That's, and it was always a kasha since other Marishan, but it's never been like this before. That it's never been like, it's crazy like this now. Where am I? Vi bin ich? Hakidma omnam hevia har beitov. Progress. Kidma means progress. Progress has of course brought much good to the world. V'shifra es eichus achayim shel hadam, and it has improved the quality of life. Ach imzos, but together with this, together with all the improvements of life, hanisayin hakadmoni is atzeim ma'od. What does he mean by hanisayin hakadmoni?
Ayeka,
the snake. This test of what happened with the snake. That's Nisayin HaKadmoni, and Hashem asking other region Ayaka, his atzei ma'od, it's stronger than ever before. And Nisayin HaKadmoni, that Nisayin of Adam and, what does they need of Adam and Chava, is they listen to a voice outside themselves. Instead of listening to the voice inside of yourself, they listen to the voice of the snake. The snake, before, the snake was outside. They were listening to something outside that wasn't the fee who they were. And they went for that sound that was coming, that voice. They went for that broadcast, that Twitter, that Facebook. They went for that sound outside of themselves. They were not listening to that kol panim. And that outside voice that used to be called the beginning of time, that was the snake, now it has many, many other levushim. And the levushim that it has now are in many ways more confusing because there's so many good things that progress has brought to our life, so many wonderful, wonderful improvements that we enjoy in our lives, and that's in many ways much more dangerous because it's hard to identify.
So it's like
Zeb and Mosa. Huh? So it's very, very hard to identify. What's the snake and this is good, it's not good. So it's good. You could look up a million divrei Torah and you could hear a thousand shiurim, all you like, and so much Torah, and that's fantastic that a person could. But then, in that, you could also lose your inner voice. I was thinking about this last Friday night. So, growing up, I had in the house before when I was a bacher. So I had a few svarim. I was saying besides the Gemara and Chumash. I had a Kedushas Levi, I had a Tanya, I had a Michtar Meliyahu, I had a few basic svarim that I was learning, and Friday night I always had my sefer in it, and now I sit in the house and I got a million svarim, and then on top of that I have a Mishagas, I get all the things that come from Eretz Yisrael, from Rabbi Shemaya, and from this and that, all the latest Torahs that have come from the New Tzaddikim, and I'm sitting there Friday night, and I was thinking to myself, you know, it's quiet, and everybody's sleeping, and I was looking at one of the one of the pages, you know, the Gilyonot from one of the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, and it was beautiful. I was enjoying it, but then I had this like tremendous longing for how it was like when I was a kid, when I didn't have anything, just like one shelf of svarim. I just had a shelf of svarim. I had my Mishnayos, I had my Gemara, and a couple of svarim kedayishim. That's all I had. I didn't have all this stuff. And it's holy. All the svarim are holy. But to be able to sit over a Noam Eloh Melech, you know, a five-line Noam Eloh Melech for 5 hours, and to hear what the Noam Eloh Melech is saying to you, as opposed to like...
Next.
Yeah. Because it's so exciting. There's so much good stuff. But it used to be that I didn't have all that stuff, and I just relished that Kedushas Levi for, you know, and I asked myself over and over, what's the Kedushas Levi saying to me? What's he saying to me? How can I try to be better with this Kedushas Levi? But now you're in the middle of the Kedushas Levi, and I'm already looking at this. Oh, this is good. and I'm not. Vibinich. Where am I? So I got this sefer, I got that sefer, I'm looking at this, I'm all excited, this a new sefer came out, and I have this and all this stuff, and vibinich. And then where am I? What happened to me? Vibinich. And this is, so it's not just, I'm not just talking about things of tumah, God forbid, even kedusha, vibinich. What happened to me? Where am I? Where am I? And my wife lives, when we go someplace, so I got... The suitcase is like 400 pounds because I'm bringing, I can't, how could I go without this and this safe and without that safe? And this is going to Israel. And she says, you know, when we're in Israel, you're going to buy another 20 swarm. And I said, well, I said, because there's certain swarm you can't get in America. So then why don't you just be soimach on that and take one safe with you? And when you get there, you'll buy your 20 swarm. You'll be happy. Why are you going schlepping? We have to go the whole way. You're schlepping. You can't carry it and going with the big. And then it's going to be overweight. And every single time I say, I know, but. No, but I was in the middle of this. I can't. I have to take this. And then when I get there, I the first thing I'm there is I have to go to the coast. I run to my guy. You know, I have my guys, and I go for the swami. Oh, how are you, Moshe? They're all waiting for me. You know, I come in there with my credit cards. And I got used to be had to take out some money. No more. Just to give them a card, and I get this safer. I get that safer. But then what? Vibinich. Where am I? It's not just in it's in good things too. It's in good things also. And this is from all over, all over.
Rabbi, he's saying that it's in Zion, like to focus on that one piece, even in Torah, focus on that one piece before you go. I mean, sometimes
sure.
You feel a little no amount for this and that. How do you
listen? It's a fine Yetzirah. It's a fine Yetzirah, but it's still. It's not the way to become a great person.
Focus on that piece, get it, feel it, and then move on to the
next. Yeah, and ask yourself some real questions about this piece of Noam Eloh Melech, whatever it is that you're doing, or whatever you're learning. To ask some real questions. So when I'm doing Shnai Mikra Chatab, so I'm getting nervous that I have to finish it because I want to see some other things. And right. But when I was a kid, I just enjoyed it. I would sit with Rashi, and I would think about Rashi. I didn't have 100 svarim perushim on Rashi. I tried to on my own to figure it out. And my father would show me. He had a few svarim. He had all the years, and I would show him, you know, different things that he would ask me. Was what are you learning? And I would show it to him. I was all excited. He said, and my father said, okay, enjoy it. But he had his chumash. He had his Zohar Chaim HaKadosh. He had whatever Gemara he was learning. He had Mishnayos, he had his Torah. That's his
this. It's a chazal. You grab everything, you get nothing.
To fast the Ruba. And it wasn't a taiva. He didn't have such a taiva. And he was happy every year with Rashi. Like he was happy with Rashi. He didn't need anything. Just Rashi is so good. What are you all over the place going like this? And, you know, but so could, even in such a way, it's a bracha, it's a huge bracha that we have. Wonderful svarim, and they're available now, and they're readable because it used to be, you know, I'm on my sixth Noam Eloh Melech edition because The one that I had when I was younger was tiny print and Rashi, and two columns on a page. And now it's, you know, you have already Oyes V'Hadar. And who knows what's going to be next year? You can open up something that's going to talk. Rabbi Elmach is going to talk to you. I don't know what's going to be next year. So every time I get these, I have my Nayim Elmach. I was so excited when I got that Nayim Elmach that was like bigger print. This is like my treasure. When I got it, whatever, 25 years ago, I have a Nayim Elmach that you could actually read. And it has big letters, you know. And then I look at it and say, this is already, this is over a bottle. This Nayim Elmach is already not good. Now there's a new one that has all the mefarshim and all different things and which is a bracha. Zeloza. Something is a lot is being lost along the way. Ulishkorches or chayiv. Ha'adam olul yishoy b'tzur amuka ad ma'ay. Ulishkorches or chayiv. The outside world, there's so many things that are pulling, and a person can get drawn very deeply into it, and he could forget the light of his life. You see this thing with people with the selfies, with the pictures? What's going on? I don't have to explain it. You see what's going on. You're not even in that moment. You're just taking a picture of that moment. You don't even have a moment to live in that moment. You're already busy. Are you telling people to take it? You're not really living it. You're just photographing it. And then you're going to look at it on the phone later on and say, wow, that was such a nice trip. It was nothing. It wasn't a nice trip. You weren't thinking about the trip. You weren't enjoying the trees and the mountains. You weren't enjoying the fresh air. You were busy taking pictures of it. You weren't in it. You were just thinking about the better shot. You didn't even enjoy the weather. You didn't enjoy being with your family. You were just posing and taking pictures. So with that, everything with the pictures, same thing. It's all this thing of outside. Vaf lihis na take me besise achaim ativim. Vachiyunim v'yoseh k'sharim ben ishim amitim v'amukim. What's happening is that as a result of all of this progress, we're becoming detached from the most basic relationships of our lives. True and deep relationships have become empty and meaningless. Chaim shel chedvas yitzira. A life where there's the joy of being creative, of creating. Because when you sit over that Rashi for an hour, you're going to create something. When you sit over the Nayim Elimelech for an hour, it's going to be you and the Nayim Elimelech, a relationship. You understand? And something, and a new idea that you have in the Nayim Elimelech that's about who you are and how Rabbi Elimelech is talking to you, as opposed to seeing what the good guys and somewhere in Yerushalayim were typing up on the computer to help you understand the Nayim Elimelech, which is beautiful. But where's your creativity? Where's your own Nayim Elimelech? Where's your own connection to Rabbi Elimelech? It's somebody else's Rabbi Elimelech, not yours. But the Rabbi Elimelech wanted to have a relationship with each one of us. He should be a friend to a Rabbi to each one of us. Instead, it's not a real relationship with the Rabbi Elimelech. It's not really connecting to him. That's what it means. A chaim shel chedvas yitzira. A life where there's that joy of creating, of your own thoughts, your own feelings. Vasiya arachis mamashis, to do something that it's yours and it's valuable to you. It's something that you accomplished. Ula malenu ladas. But we have to know, kfisha mevur v'svar, as it's explained in this far, shahe itgarim, the challenges, haboyim lecholdor, the challenges of every generation. Soivu mehashgah elyona, the Baruch Shalom is in charge of the world, and there's a reason why the Baruch Shalom davke in our time he made such a thing, this technology, but he made this whole inyan. This is all hashgah elyona, it's all from Hashem. So why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem make it so hard to be levado? The answer is kedei lahatzmiach or gadol shetomen bedor. Everything that Hashem does is for the purpose of drawing out the deep inner light of that generation. Our milchama, our war now against Greece, it's not with swords and stuff like that, but our milchama against Greece is deeper. It's more fierce than the milchama that was the physical one against the Greeks and the intellectual, spiritual one at that time, because whatever Rabim Biad Ma'atim meant back in Yerushalayim at the time of Hanukkah, what does it mean nowadays, Rabim Biad Ma'atim? What does it mean that the few were able to defeat the many? So on each of our phones, there's many. Many. And the Baruch Shalom is saying to us that the Rabbim, that with Chanukah, a person has the koach of Masat Gibur and Biyat Halashim. Also, the things that are on there seem to be very strong, pulling at us in a very strong way. Gibur and Biyat Halashim, Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim. Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim. That a person should be able to overcome that world that's called the world of Rabbim, of the many. Of the many. And to enclose oneself in that world that's called Ma'atim. The Jewish people are Ma'at Mikol Ha'amim. That's the greatest compliment that we're called Ma'atim. Hashem complimented us when he said that you're the Ma'at, you're the Ma'at. It's like that shemen, that one jar of shemen the Baruch Hashem has in the world is called Am Yisrael. And Hashem wants us to preserve that reality that's called Ma'atim. That doesn't mean you shouldn't, Hashem, have get married and have children, but that world of who we are that's called Ma'atim, and not to get lost in the hands of the Rabbim, but to overcome the Rabbim. To overcome the Rabbim. Every minute of the day that a person is able to stay away from this, again, I'm not saying this, I think I'll have to explain this to you. It's not a crusade against technology, and the bruch is a technology. That's not what I'm talking about. Bechlal, bechlal not. That's not my mahalach with these things. I'm talking about ayaka, v'binech. And if a person can spend more time a day without that, without the rabbim, that means that the ma'atim have ischaskas. Your children, your family, yourself, your heart, your mind. The ma'atim will be able to defeat the rabbim. Every time you could say no to that, and put it away, it's Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim. The Ma'atim winning. It's Giborim, because there's such a Gvura in this thing, Biyad Chaloshim. And people feel like they're powerless. There are people that can't let go of it. They're always touching it in their pocket, and they're always looking at it. They can't. Did you ever see such a Gibor in your life? Whoever took, when you used to go to school, right, and you felt that the teacher, let's say you had this horrible English teacher, and you felt that she was your enemy, right? But at some point, the bell rings, and I'm done with her. Not that I don't want her to die or anything like that. Just go to Florida, whatever. Leave me alone. But the day is over. The day is over, and I'm finished with her. Done. To Machai. That's how it was when we grew up. You were finished. So you were happy, because the bad lady left you, and you went home. And then when it comes to the summer, oh... But now, it never leaves you. There's never such a thing. The Baruch Hashem fears the Welt in such a way that the bad lady goes with you everywhere you go. You can't get rid of it. It used to be that the teacher, you left school, Baruch Shem Petrano, and finished with it. No more rulers, no more books, right? No more teachers. Dirty looks. Gandhi. Finished with her. Finished with him. Done. And you were free. Free. Watch during the day, today, touching and looking and feeling and seeing and watching and being nervous and everything. Nothing. It's such a gibber that he has the ability, this gibber of technology has the ability to hold on to a person throughout the day, and there are people that also look at it 10 times during the night. Is such a gibur. And there are people that they can't control themselves, even lo aleinu and Michal Shabbos, that we're hearing more and more of these things. Somebody was telling me, I met somebody the other day, he said with his chevra, they all text on Shabbos, they all look at it on Shabbos. They all look at their emails on Shabbos. he only eats in Glakosh, they eat Glakosh, and they consider themselves, they go to shul on Shabbos. And they're looking at their things on Shabbos. You ever see such a gibur in the world? Never lets go of you. Yaakov, when he says, Yavasi Akalovado, but it was Adelaide Shacha, and he got rid of him. The sun rises Friday morning, Erev Shabbos, Pashas Ve'eshav, Toshin Pei Gimel, and he's still laughing at you. The phone is sitting right next to you. You're never free from him, except the Shabbos, and not people even with Shabbos. So what does Hashem's Baruch want? The answer is, to bring out some great light that is hidden in this generation. Hashem does not allow his world to remain static. The Ramchal, Rav Kook, all the tzaddikim, we've learned a lot about this over the years. Hashem is pushing the world higher and higher. Pushing the world towards Mashiach. Pushing us to become stronger, to become better. Makev v'oimer gadel, like Chazal say, that there's a malach, there's an angel standing over every blade of grass, right? And that malach gives a clap on the head of the on the top of the grass. V'oimer loy gadel. And Hashem sends a malach to that blade of grass and tells the blade of grass gadel. The malach says, "Grow." It's a makev. You're getting patched. You're getting a clap. But that clap is Omer like Gadel. It's like with every time we get patched in life. That Hashem is saying, Gadel, become stronger, become better, become deeper. All we want, and I've spoken about this many times recently, especially, everybody, all they want now is to make sure that there's no malach hamaka, that the kids especially, nobody, that my kids shouldn't even get a clap from anybody, from anything. And if the kid comes back and says that the teacher looked at me in a bad way, then the rich father says, I'm going to see to it that teacher will never teach another day in his life. These things are going on. You upset my Maishala? You failed my Sarala? I'm on the board. I pay for your job. You better watch out. If you give another dirty look to my kid, you're finished. I'm hardly exaggerating. The kinds of things that I've seen over the years, especially recent years, especially with the Baal Yichas, people that have money and how they use their money, some of them. And the answer is always, but they give a lot of tzedakah. You know? But what's going to be with that kid? Because daddy's making sure that there never should be anybody that gives a makkah to that kid. I'm not talking about shooting or killing. I'm talking about that dirty look or a failing grade. That's a makkah. How dare you hit my Maishala? You can't hit my Maishala. So now the children are growing up expecting never to get any makkahs. There shouldn't be, the world should be without any makkahs. Without any, the world should be makkahs free. And then when they get married, he gets married and then his wife gives him a makkah. I don't mean hitting him, chasho, but, you know. Also, a dirty look, a couple of strong words, and now Moshe got a makkah from the wife. Doesn't know what to do. Because he was supposed to have a life without makkahs. So his parents wanted to marry the richest girl so he could sit and learn, and he doesn't have to worry about any makkahs. Because then he has to worry about how he's going to afford Shabbos. No makkahs. Marry the rich girl. The problem is that, as we all know, most rich girls need a lot more maintenance than the poor girls, right? And then his little rich girl wants to do this, wants to go there, and everybody in my family is going to Pesach for $100,000 to Saudi Arabia or something. And I'm the only little tutzlach over here that's sitting, and you're making me roll up my sleeves and make Pesach. Yeah. And the parents only wanted Moshe to have and Sarula to have a life without Marcus. And what happens if, God forbid, they don't have children? Or what if, God forbid, they have a child and the child is not well? And the mommy and daddy have to come and sit day and night because the two of them are falling apart. They can't deal with it. Because they were raised, there should be no Marcus. The problem is the mommy and daddy might be able to protect the kid from a bad teacher, but they can't protect the kid from sickness. They can't protect you from other things that happen in the world. Mommy and daddy could pay, and they dish out the money to protect their kids. My kids shouldn't have any Marcus. I don't know what you're going to do. The Baruch Shalom is smarter than anybody. And when he wants somebody to grow, sometimes the only way that that person is going to grow is by getting a marker. It's just how it is. It's the only way to grow. Those of us who are zeicher to see Yidden from the old generation, I'm not saying from 10 years ago, Jews from 70, 80, 90 years ago. I've said this over 1,000 times, but it's just in the context of where we are right now, that when it was the business of the World Trade Center and the whole thing happened. And if you remember what was going on that day, it was crazy. And in Washington, it was going... It was a beautiful day, I remember. And I was sitting on Notre Road in the house that we had, in the little shul, and there was no phone. And I went home to call my parents to see if everything's okay. And see, you know, just I was nervous about the matzah to see if everyone in the family is okay, whatever. And I asked my father, "Dad, you heard what happened? Did you hear what happened?" My father said, "What do you thought?" I said, "With the World Trade Center." He said, "Yeah, I heard." And so I was saying, "Daddy was," and I was like all worked up about it. My father just said, "Look, you know, that things like that happen in the world. Bad things happen. How are the children?" It wasn't spoiled for me. Really. That doesn't mean he didn't feel bad for people who died. He is a very compassionate person. And over each person that we're talking about it. But the way that, I was so shocked by how could such a thing happen. How could there be such an avlat that these Rishoyim thought of such a thing to go in with an airplane into a building like that? How could it be such a thing? And my father said, the same as that. It's a sach Rishoyim in the world. The world has a lot of Rishoyim. And they're thinking about ways to hurt people. And it's something that, I remember, and that was it. And then, what's doing with this one? With the kids, he started to talk about it with another subject. Everybody in the world is talking about what happened. My father was, what's doing with Hasser? He's doing that. There's no spoil from it. Because the people that live through a lot of Marcus, they don't become insensitive to other people, just the opposite. They become internalized. And they know how to deal with the Marcus of this world. And not only that, but they become bigger people from that. They become greater people. Not that we chalila any Jew should ever have any difficulties or suffering. Chas v'shalom. There shouldn't be any tzaros. But we're watching the generation growing up. And I was told when we had last week the coffee conversation that my wife were together with some of the chevra from the shul, the women and some of the young ladies from the shul. So one of the women was talking about how something with her son that happened in school, and she used the lashon that my son was devastated and was mortified. I mentioned this, and I think the other one was devastated and mortified. And maybe it was a little bit odd. I mean, I didn't mean it on her, with her, but I just said, listen to these little shyness. In other words, something that with the teacher that happened, an Indian with the teacher that wasn't anything very, a regular thing that happened that happens to kids in schools. When you're growing up, there are things that happen in the school. You don't always go with this teacher. Doesn't always work out with that teacher. Christ, it's part of life. And the lashon that she used was, he was devastated and mortified. And I think she was saying, I was mortified, and he was devastated. And I just said, wow, devastation, mortification. You know, these lashonis, again, when I was younger, these were lashonis that were used for, like Hiroshima, you know. Not talking about that, like the teacher didn't give a good grade to, he worked so hard, whatever. devastation. It's not just the kid thinks so. The kid thinks like that. The kid's just a kid. But the mother is saying such a lashon. And again, I don't mean anything bad about her. Chas v'shalom. She's a wonderful tzaddikus. I'm just saying that this is what's going on. Devastation and mortification. How could a child have to go through such a horrible thing that not to get the grade he worked so, whatever it was, something like that, like regular stuff. Mortification. I don't know if there's some heavy that when I was growing up, when I got from the Rebbe, I didn't tell my father about it, because my father would say, if you got it, you deserved it. And next time you do it, you'll get one from me too. That was the end of it. Can you imagine now? That's already in the newspapers. That's the social services come knocking on the door. My father would be in handcuffs. The Rebbe would be in handcuffs. I'm not promoting Rebbe's hitting kids, because there's always some shite that's going to hear it like that on the phone. That's not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing then. It's a terrible thing now. There was a time that it did work on some level, but you can't even talk about it now because of what we're talking about. Because it has to be a Marcus-free world. You can't disagree with anybody now. That's a marker that a person can't take. As if someone tells you something, you say, I disagree. What? Like I said between 2 weeks ago, I feel unvalidated or invalidated. I feel threatened by that. I feel unsafe. You hear this? This is the new lesson. I don't feel safe. What happened? Why don't you feel safe? What's going on that you don't feel safe? Because it has to be a life without Marcus. Without any Marcus, without Sanhedrin, without Marcus, without Tanis, only Brachas, you understand? Shabbos, Brachas. Not Marcus, not Tanis. Only Brachas, Shabbos, Pesachim. No Marcus. But every Marcus, Hashem is saying, Gadel. The same way with the blade of grass. Gadel, you could grow, become stronger. Uli'itim hamakis, next page, hamagdilos, boos betzura koshum taltelis. Listen, we know that the makis come sometimes, and they're very, very hard. Very hard, the makis. Not talking about a little kid in school, and the teacher, you know, giving a hard time. We're talking, which for that kid is hard, but we're talking about serious makis. Kol etgar mekuvan meis Hashem. Every challenge in life was signed off by Kadosh Baruch Hu and sent to you individually for you. That challenge that you're having in life was sent to you by Kadosh Baruch Hu. It came through the boss, it came through the teacher, it came through the Rebbe, it came through your parents, it came through a friend. It came the same way that when they send you something from Amazon, it comes with the UPS. But the UPS is not the Baladova. Even Amazon's not. Wherever it came from. It's a whole chagadia till it gets to your door. Until the Ganif steals it from your door. It's a whole chagadia. Right? Until it gets to you. It's a whole chagadia. The Baruch Shalom sent you that. It comes from him. It went by way of Amazon, by this warehouse, by that warehouse. By this shliach, that shliach, this person, it came through many, many shluchim. But when it arrives to you, when that makkah gets to you, it's from Hashem. It's from Hashem. B'matara l'shamesh monoif lachatz. And what's the point of that makkah, of that challenge? What's the point of that challenge? B'matara l'shamesh monoif lachatz. Manof is like a crane or a tractor. That's how they use it now. But it means lachatz, means to put pressure. To put pressure on you. Manof lachatz. Like to squeeze you. Kidei lahorlid or. To squeeze some light out of you. To squeeze some light out of you. Vilidchaik ulahatzmichai. to push you to grow. V'his kadmus hofa also, and to move, to accelerate that hofa, that appearance of the person that you could be. That's what the challenge is for. But now everybody has to make sure there are no challenges. Make sure my children don't have any challenges. Remember another story from my father, Olam Shalom. When I lived in Eretz Yisrael, when we lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they used to have these, tiulim a few times a year at the school, and I hated them because they weren't like tiulim in America, where they take you in a bus and you get off at the bus and you like look at things and take pictures. We had to go, and they let us off in the middle of nowhere, and we had to go schlepping things, whatever. And we had to go, it was like training for the army. It was a gadna, the whole thing. And we had to go walking for 5 hours in the heat. By these vadis, you know, where you have this narrow cliff, and it's like 5,000 feet down. And that's how these valleys have a day off. That's when I was a kid, that's what it was. So there was one that we were told in school that they were going next week, and you have to get from your parents, a shus, whatever, going on this trip for the day. Someplace to engage. I don't know where we're going. Somewhere like that. Someplace hot and scary. So I wanted to find a way to be putter from that. I didn't want to go on that teal. I already had enough teal in that year. I didn't want to go on that teal. So I asked my father to write a note. I mean, I should have asked my mother. My mother wasn't home. And I don't know what was going on, but I asked my father to write a note. I said, what's this note for? So I told him this deal is ridiculous, a waste of time. You know, I said all this stuff. So my father wrote a note. And on the note, he said that make sure that Moshe goes on the trip. I give permission and he should go. Shkoyach, that was me. Same thing when it was the Gadna thing. We had to learn how to shoot rifles when I was in high school. We had the army training thing. And my mother made a whole inyan that I shouldn't do that, and it's dangerous. And my father said, you make sure you do it, and you go. And it wasn't to bring on more suffering in a person's life, but not to run away from it when it comes to you. It's part of life, and deal with it instead of trying to hide. But this is not the nowadays, it's not the usual mahalach of how it's given over. It's not the usual mahalach. It's, I will protect you from that. You won't have to go through that. Maybe the other children will, because it could be that they're less fortunate. Maybe they can't afford to pay off somebody. My child is not going to go through that. My child's not going to go through. The other one's not. If I could afford to, I'd pay for all of them to be part of it. But that's what's going on. And who's getting into the schools, who's not getting into the schools. And all of this is in a way that is unholy and impure. And it's not leading to making greater people. But that's what Hashem is doing. Kol choshech, every drop of darkness that a person experiences in life, Noad l'chadeid es ha'or ha'ofchilo, is designated, is for the purpose of sharpening and brightening the light that is the opposite of that darkness. You hear that? That's a very beautiful sentence. Nachamal. Kol choshech, every darkness, Noad is designated l'chadeid, to sharpen, l'chadeid, to put into better focus, to see better, l'chadeid es ha'or Ahovchilo, to see the light that is the opposite of that darkness. That's the Simcha of Chanukah. That's the joy of Chanukah. The davka biglal shahar has that tzarich lihivaleid, and it's davka because at this point in your life, the time has come for you to give birth to this light. The time in your life is now to bring forth this new light of who you are, of what you could accomplish. But in order to bring forth that light, Hashem has different ways of doing that. Sometimes Therefore, right now, this particular darkness was sent to you. So our generation was sent this, the generation was sent this darkness with this mixture of the light of technology, and Hashem has a reason for it. And the reason must be to make us greater, not to make us smaller. Kidei lidchok bo'er lahofia, in order to be able to squeeze us to bring forth that light, to bring forth that greater part of who we are. Every experience of choshech in our lives is in order to bring out our. A person has to always think about that. That when something is not going your way, and there's some sort of a difficulty or a challenge or something that hurts, to ask yourself, what is the or that this choshech is for? Why, what or can I bring out of this choshech? What candle can I light in this darkness? What candle can I light now of who I am? Could I become a person from this? I could maybe a person who's more patient, a person who's more compassionate for what other people are suffering from. This darkness can make me more compassionate. Can make me feel more what others are going through. What aura is Hashem squeezing out for me right now with this choshech? Instead of thinking, oh, there he goes again, you know, he's punishing me, he hates me, he's sending me another makkah. No. What candle does Hashem want me to light right now in my life? That this choshech, without this choshech, I would not have seen this light at all. I wouldn't come to this light at all without this darkness. So the last yontif that we have as the Jewish people is Hanukkah. Before the long years of Golus, Hashem gave us the yontif of Hanukkah. Because Hashem's Baruch knew there are going to be many, many years of darkness that we're going to be going through. And Hanukkah is that avodah of understanding that the darkness that we're going through is in order to bring more light. It's in order to light Hanukkah candles. Instead of being angry and blaming the shliach and being upset with the, you know. You imagine a guy comes, some nice fellow that works for UPS, and he brings you a box that you ordered from Amazon, right? You ordered a pair of shoes. And the guy is talking to the UPS, is a nice guy, and you open up the shoes, and you see that they sent you the wrong shoes. So you can start to yell at the guy. What's the matter? Are you stupid or something? I didn't press the button for these shoes, I pressed the button for the other shoes. How come you brought me the wrong shoes? The guy's just a delivery boy. What's it his fault? What are you going crazy with the delivery boy? So the Torah says, yeah, but you chose to be a delivery boy, therefore now I'm going to teach you a lesson. And you must be a Rasha, because otherwise Hashem wouldn't have sent you with the wrong shoes. So it must be a Rasha. You can make all the cheshbon you like, but the poor guy just should be left alone. And that's it. You got the wrong pair of shoes. So what are you going to make of this? Send them back. And that's the end of it. But that moment is a moment of whether you're going to get angry or not going to get angry. Whether you can get all wound up and upset and disappointed or not. That was sent to you. That box came. You traced that box back all the way from the UPS to the warehouse to Amazon to wherever Amazon gets from the company and where the company got it from, China or Korea, whatever. And you traced it all the way back there. And some Chinaman standing someplace in some province I never heard of in my life that I can't pronounce. And this Chinese guy is standing over there. And you're yelling at the UPS guy. It's Rachmanis, no? The poor guy just came to deliver a box. It comes from China. It went through a whole Stauschlitz until it came from China to your door. And you're yelling at this UPS guy. But we do that all the time. We're doing that all the time. The Baruch Shalom was the one that sent it. It went through a whole Stauschlitz. And now you're disappointed. So what's going to be? Now you're disappointed. You're going to walk around now all upset and disappointed, but these are the nisyanos that we go through, and we're not supposed to get the wrong delivery. And I'm going to call up Amazon and give them a piece of my mind. How dare you send me? Nobody does that to me. You know who I am. I'm on the board. Nobody sends me the wrong shoes. You sent me the wrong shoes. You don't know you know who you're messing with. I'm going to take Amazon down. That's how you feel. But then you say, "Oh, I guess I can't do that. I'll just try to send the shoes back and get another pair." But you really want to take Amazon down because that's horrendous that they did that to you, and you're very upset because you had a hard day because you had three people at work that disagreed with you. Three people disagreed with you at work, and now Amazon sent you the wrong shoes. This is a very hard day. So you want to punish the UPS guy. And then you gave him a strong word, like, this is again. And he just says, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir." And then you get back to yourself, and you say, no, I didn't mean you, but Amazon. I'm gonna get I didn't mean you, I meant Amazon. That's ready. And he's grateful that you didn't shoot him or something. Because you're a nice guy. You realize that it's not him, it's Amazon. I'm making all this Purim spiel, you understand? But at the core of this Purim spiel is something very, 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 very true, very real, and very, very scary. Very scary. A generation whose growth is stunted. We're not able to become adults. And then when the circumstances of their lives are forcing them to become adults, they don't know what to do. They just get divorced. So lo halach. It's not going. It forces them to. They can't. They can't go on. Can't move. That's what's happening. And in all of that, the question is, from the beginning of time, Ayeka, where are you? And yourself, Vibinich, where am I in all of this? If a person is focused on that, where am I? Then from that challenge, from that difficulty, the I can find itself. I can dafka find myself because of that challenge, because of that difficulty. I'm able to find myself. Instead of my whole life I'm running away, and that's why I can't stand any challenge, I can't stand any difficulty. I fall apart from any maka. It's horrific, it's devastating, it's mortifying. I run away from all of that, and by doing that, I've run away from myself. Instead of when something comes your way that's a challenge, you take it, and vayivasa Yaakov levado vayavik ish imoy adalis hashachar, and you become a bigger person like Yaakov, you know, became Yisrael, right? When did Yaakov become Yisrael? Not with mommy and daddy. He came when he had a wrestling match. That's when Yaakov became Yisrael, not when he was with mommy and daddy. Vayivasa Yaakov levado. It's through those ma'avakim of life that Yaakov could become Yisrael, and that we become greater people. But v'chalzos, of course, it should only be good for Jews. We don't want chalila any tzaros. But benkach, until Mashiach comes, this is the world we live in. This is the world that Hashem's Baruch made. But to believe that the tachlis of that is or, that's the ikur. That's our avoid, to believe that the tachlis is or. Mr. Shem, should be lechtig in Shabbos, and lechtig in Chanukah, and lechtig in Shabbos, Chanukah, and we should be zeichem, Mr. Shem, if I reach his name, then you shine, we should chenem a code. Amen.